everyone, and welcome to Fly, a Queer Haiku podcast. I'm Rainbow.
And I'm Em.
And today we're going to be talking about episode 10, Yearning.
What a title.
Oh, what a title.
What are we yearning for?
Oh, we're going to find out. but full transparency here, this is the second episode we're recording this weekend. We usually only do one a weekend, but as of this recording date, Rainbow is getting ready to get her wisdom teeth extracted, all four. So next weekend, I will not be available. Did you like how I just talked in third person there for a second?
Rainbow is a little scared.
Rainbow is a little scared.
You're going to do great, though.
Scary. No, I think it'll be okay, and it'll be good. I've gone through just, like, years and years of, like, my wisdom teeth, like, slowly growing in, and then I have, like, you know, 5 to 7 days of just some mouth pain that makes it hard to eat because chewing is hard, but, you know, I just toughed through it because why not? Em is looking at me.
Wait,
like,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Since they first started growing in, just at, like, every once in a while. Not, like, super consistently, but just, like, you know, I'll go through, like, it's maybe happened, like, once or twice a year.
I'm very glad you're getting these taken out. I've been telling her because I had wisdom teeth pain, too, and it sucks. But, yeah, we work hard. Our hands look like this so you guys can listen every week and we don't fall behind. So we're doing 2 episodes this weekend.
Yeah, and we had some technical difficulties getting started. GarageBand was like, no, we're not going to work for you.
Listen, I only cried a little bit. It was all good.
But Em persevered and she got it together. And now here we are right in your ears a couple weeks later. So, you know, by the time this episode comes out, Rainbow will be a few weeks out from getting the oral surgery. And again, talking in the third person, what am I doing? Anyway, I will be a couple weeks out from getting the oral surgery, and I should be all healed up. But, you know, if anybody knows what my face looks like, which isn't many of you, but just imagine it, you know, swelled twice its size.
Rainbow already has the sweetest little cheeks you've ever seen, and the fact that they're going to get more chipmunky, I don't know if I'm ready.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll have ice packs to keep the swelling down, so you know you don't overdose. Yeah. So I think that's it for kind of like chit chatty stuff.
Mm-hmm. I need to get to some yearning.
We do need to get to some yearning, but first we have one little bit of housekeeping, which is the final reminder that we are going to be recording a Q&A episode. We'll actually be recording it a few days after this episode 10 drops. So this is the last reminder you'll hear on the pod that we want you to send us questions. Mm-hmm. We want any and all questions you want to ask us. We're going to do our best to answer all of them, but even if we don't get to every single question, we will save them for another Q&A episode later. Mm-hmm. We're very excited. And just as a reminder, you can ask us about Haiku, including spoiler stuff. We'll have a spoiler zone in the Q&A episode. You can also ask about us.
Fandom in general, other animes.
Yeah, other animes, even other, you know, properties. We're big cartoon lovers.
We're just big fan nerds. So, you know the vibe.
Yeah, even like music and stuff. Feel free to. Full disclosure, we're not K-pop people. So if you ask K-pop questions, we won't be able to answer them. There's nothing wrong with enjoying K-pop. It's just not.
We just don't go there. We don't go here.
Yeah, we don't go there. There are other podcasts for that, I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure.
But yeah, so send us questions. Send them via, you know, social media. Send us an email. We love an email. Yeah, but I think that's it for housekeeping, unless you have anything.
No, ma'am. The house is clean.
All right. So it's Em's turn to do the recap. I'll counter down here, and then we'll get into some fierce yearning.
All right. Let's do it.
Ready?
Ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Once again, Hinata is getting distracted during a match thinking about his dreams and the aces he wants to be like. When he's hit by reality, or a volleyball, Kageyama has no patience for Hinata thirsting after the ace position when he's already a perfectly good decoy. He reminds Hinata that while he's no ace right now, with his talents and Kageyama's genius combined, Hinata is invincible.
Ugh. God, this episode's so gay.
Well, this has a very iconic line of, you know, with me, you're invincible.
Yeah, yeah. As long as I'm here, you're invincible.
Yeah, I always fuck it up, but it is iconic.
It's very iconic. It is. I mean, how many fics do you think have the word invincible in the title?
Bro. And this is just more evidence that Kageyama fell first and Hinata falls harder because yes. he makes this declaration first. But before we dive into that, let's take it to the beginning of the episode.
Yeah, so this episode does what a lot of animes do.
They did a really long like recap of the yeah. last episode in the beginning this time around.
And I will, and Haikyuu does this, and I think it's just the nature of like, you know, I think these episodes are coming out week by week. Mm-hmm. And so because it's episodic like this, you know, they want to make sure, well, just in case you forgot what happened last week or you missed last week's episode, here's kind of like where we're at right now. So we kind of get to see Asahi's Suga and like calling for the ball and him mm-hmm. like spiking it and everything. And it is a little bit more condensed. And I just want to make a note here that Haikyuu does this, but it's not nearly as egregious as I've seen in other shows. If anyone has ever watched Naruto, sometimes a Naruto episode will start where the episode, and they're like, you know, 20-25 minute episodes.
Yeah.
And the first 10 minutes is literally just what happened in the last episode. Oh my God. It's infuriating. And, you know, I don't know, like, and, you know, in the United States, there is like a culture of streaming. And so I feel like there is a little bit less of that, like from our like Western shows. But I wonder in Japan if like they're still like really they're sticking more with cable and the episodes coming out week by week. Or I wonder if streaming is maybe changing, you know, that desire to do that.
Dude, the amount of times we bring up things we don't know about Japanese culture, we need to have like a Japanese syndicate on our show just to help us with these things.
Honestly. And I mean, we could definitely be doing like research into this kind of stuff. But also like, I feel like, you know, yeah, I would love somebody who's like actually from Japan
Lives in the culture.
Yeah, lives in the culture. Yeah, to be able to like speak from their own experience. I think that would be really interesting. And I'd love to know more about it. But yeah, so anyway, so the episode starts with, you know, about 2 minutes of the last episode.
Yes.
Yeah. And then we kind of get into, you know, we are still like we're kind of transitioning. We're transitioning from the Asanoya of last episode to the Kagehina of this episode.
Very true. Like our last little Asanoya moment in this episode is right at the beginning. I think you noted it too when Noya's kind of scolding Asahi because he's a little out of practice.
I love it. And before that, I love because Takeda is like freaking out about how cool this serv is because Takeda is the audience insert in this show.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, whoa, did you hear the sound it made? It was like, guah. He sounds like Hinata, at least in the dub. And it's so funny. I was like, I love little Takeda. Oh, he's mm-hmm. so cute. He's so excited. And I do love watching Takeda fall in love with volleyball because like he didn't know anything about it. He was just like, you know, trying to be a good teacher mm-hmm. And like be a good club advisor, but he is really like becoming passionate about the sport before our eyes, and it's beautiful.
Well, yeah, like you said, he's the audience insert, and I definitely feel like I'm right beside him the whole way.
Yeah. And so then, you know, we have our last little moment with Asanoya, and then we kind of just get into them talking about Kagehina. Mm-hmm. And somebody, I can't remember who it is, says something about Kageyama adapting to Hinata. I think it's Yukai.
Yeah. He's like trying to, because they all see the quick.
Yes.
And he's freaking out. And he's like, is he? Because he's like, the shrimpy isn't looking. So is that guy just like matching his speed? He must be what they call a genius.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait. One day we do have to have a time skip episode soon so that we can talk about Kageyama as a genius and what it really means.
Yeah.
And Yukai is so, like, confused by the free quick. And, like, because he notices that Hinata has his eyes closed. And he noted, and he's just, like, the setter was able to, like, pinpoint it to him. And he, like, asked them. He's like, you two freaks or something?
I wrote in, that's the wrong F word, Yukai. Yes. Because like, I love that moment where he's like processing it and then he just like shouts at them because a lot of the men in this show shout when they have feelings.
Yes.
Freaks or something.
Yeah, well, and I love it. In the dub he says weirdos, and then Kagehina like look at each other and they're like, weirdos? And then Hinata's like, are we? And Kageyama's like, I don't know. It's just so cute.
Very idiots in love.
Yeah, but you guys very excited. Well, because he's comparing Kageyama as a setter and Suga as a setter. And like at first, you know, I always get the feeling, I'm like, oh no, you guys going to like be torn about who he's going to choose as the official setter. But instead he gets that evil smile, that like grin on his face. That's so Karasuno of yes. him, where he's just like, oh, yes, we we can use this. Mm-hmm. He knows that it's good to have two good setters, because I think he's saying like Kageyama is like a, you know, he has the raw talent and the skill, but then Suga has the trust.
The trust, the experience, which is never downplayed in Haikyuu.
Never, ever. I love it.
Yeah, he's got two solid choices. As Daichi would proudly remind you, Suga is a good setter too.
Yes. He's always happy. And I think there's even a moment in this part where Asahi is like looking at Hinata and is like, oh, it's when Asahi, like they rotate and Asahi is right across the net from Hinata. Yes. And Hinata is looking at him. And Asahi, like, gets a little scared, and I just love it. Hinata's always freaking out the other players. Like, these big, scary guys are just like, what the fuck?
Oh, yeah, imagine some little ginger just, like, staring at you intensely from across the net.
With yearning in his eyes.
In this moment, his face isn't freaky or anything, but we'll get some pretty freaky Hinata stares in the future. So, like, I don't blame him. I'd probably throw a volleyball at his face, too.
Well, and, you know, as they said a lot in the last episode, Asahi is a wuss, so it takes a lot less to scare him than of the other players we come across.
Yeah, so while they're having this stare off, Kageyama, because he is always up in Hinata's business, and this episode is a really great example, because what happens? Well, they're staring, and then the play starts, and Hinata does get pretty in front of Asahi because he can jump like a maniac, and he almost blocks it. He kind of one touches it, and it doesn't, you know, he doesn't fully block it. And then he's just like, and then Hinata's just like staring at Asahi, and he's like, the ace, this is who I want to be. And Kageyama is watching this all go down, and he knows exactly what Hinata's thinking, and he's trying to just be like, hey, this is how you're supposed to block, like this is the form. And you have a note about how he's always trying to teach things.
I do. Yeah, I said Kageyama is so adorable, always trying to teach Hinata how to improve. Too bad he has no idea how to do it without being a jerk. He's just like, hey, you got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. And it's just like, oh, like, what if you had a little bit of patience?
I know. It's rough because this episode, I mean, like, you just, like, Kageyama does care, but his delivery is rough.
I do have something to say about Kageyama noticing Hinata freaking out. I think initially he doesn't quite see what's going on. I think at first he's worried that Hinata is going to be scared and nervous like he was during the Seijo match. But then Hinata is, because that's when he has his like grin, because Hinata is like fired up. He's like, no, I'm excited to play the ace. And Kageyama has that like grin where he's just like, yeah,
I love his like proud devilish grin that he gets with Hinata. It is my absolute favorite. Right before that moment, he like is like, hey, you've been waiting this long to see the ace, you better not be freaked out now. And Hinata, in his very Hinata way, is like, no, I'm ready to go. And then he's Kageyama is just very proud father this whole episode.
He is. Well, because he like, he just, I whether he realizes it consciously or not, like he knows that Hinata is a kindred spirit. Yes. And it's like is fired up about playing good players the way that Kageyama is. And Kageyama is like so excited about that. He's like, yeah, he like encourages that. He's like, yeah, you keep being excited, you keep wanting to play tough players, and you keep wanting to play me.
Kageyama right now is very much giving like, you know, Dr. Frankenstein, and Hinata is his monster. He's just like, yes,
absolutely. Yeah, without the whole like turning away because I've created a monster and I'm a weak man who can't handle it. I have a lot of feelings about Frankenstein. Nurturing is important, just saying. But I do think there is like something, there is kind of a look that that Kageyama gets at one point on his face, where I think Kageyama knows that Hinata focusing on the ace is going to hold him back. Yeah. And that's kind of where like the shift turns from like, oh, Kageyama is excited that Hinata is excited, to Kageyama recognizing that like Hinata is going to be hyper focused on this in a detrimental way. And he knows that, like, he remembers what Hinata has said in the past about how great the ace is and how much he doesn't like being a decoy.
Yeah.
And so I think you can kind of see the calculations going in Kageyama's head of like, okay, how do we snap him out of this? How do we snap him out of this?
Yeah, he wants to keep Hinata on course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so then, like, the game, it's in the middle of a rally, and Hinata is just thinking about the ace and how cool the ace is, and he's thinking about the little giant, and he's thinking about how much he wants to be like the ace, but he's not there yet. And you can, like, you can hear Daichi in the background telling Hinata, like, Hinata, back up, Hinata, back up.
Yeah.
Because Asahi's going in for a spike, and Asahi spikes it directly into Hinata's forehead.
And the sound he makes, I don't know how it sounds in the dub, but in the sub... like It's so fucking funny.
Yes. It is hilarious. And then he like gets hit, and then like Asahi comes over and is so worried because poor little Asahi. He's like, I don't ever want to hurt anyone ever. And so he feels so bad. And Hinata's like, oh, it's okay. I get hit in the face all the time. And Suka's like, that's not a good thing.
Yes. And it's funny because like a few of them, of course, run up to make sure he's okay. But Tsukishima and Kageyama have not. And Tsukishima says it out loud of like, well, no matter how you look at it, that was Hinata's fault for spacing out. Yes. And then we have angry Kageyama with the flames in the background once again.
The flames of fury. It's you know, Hinata compares it to when Hinata, you know, spiked the ball or served the ball into Kageyama's head. But I would say it's even more like, I don't know, he's even like more angry.
Yes. And well, I love that little detail when Hinata's like, oh, he's not yelling, so he's really mad. Like, yes. Yeah, you know each other on a deep level.
Yeah, absolutely. He's like, oh my god, so this isn't just like, because like the yelling is just kind of like how Kageyama communicates because he doesn't know how to communicate, but when he's really angry, it is almost like this calm anger.
Yeah.
Calm Kageyama.
Oh my gosh, I love it. Kageyama is reading his mind and reading him for filth on the court in front of everyone, basically just being like, you know, you want to be this ace and that's all you can focus on and you think it's cool and like you're jealous of him, basically just totally calling him out.
Yeah, and I have a note like as he's saying, because he's like, I know what's going on with you. And I'm like, of course you do, Kageyama, of course you do. Now that you've realized that Hinata's not scared, you know exactly what the issue is. Yeah. And I think like, you know, it is an interesting way of teaching him this lesson because, you know, he's like, you think being a decoy is dumb, don't you? And Hinata's like, no, because he has to be combative. But then he's like, well, yeah.
Yeah.
You're right. And so Kageyama is like, you can kind of see it, like Kageyama makes a decision. He's like, well, I know how I'm going to handle this. Yeah. And that's when he tells the other team, he's like, hey, next rally, I'm setting the ball to him.
Yes. I do want to say too, like Kageyama can read him, but he is kind of lacking empathy when Hinata says like, you don't get it, you're tall. I think that is, and we've noted that before, where like Kageyama doesn't really fully maybe understand where Hinata is coming from because Kageyama has had many more privileges than Hinata. He's had the volleyball family growing up and has been able to play all this time. And like, of course Hinata is kind of getting ahead of himself. He's been wanting this for so long, like blah, blah, blah. Like Kageyama just could, like you said, be a little more patient and stuff. But it's that tough love. And you know what? That's what he wants anyway. So it's all good.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I feel like this is kind of one of those moments that people use as evidence that Kageyama doesn't really care about Hinata and that he's a huge jerk. And it's like, well, no, because like it does. That's the thing, is like it does seem at first that that Kageyama is just being an asshole. But like once, you know, it's kind of like you just have to let him cook. Because like it gets to the point where like the other members on the team, like Tanaka and I think even like Daichi, are kind of like agreeing with Kageyama. And they're like, yeah, look at like, they're helping Kageyama explain it. And I think it's just that like, autistic, I don't know how to say these things to you. I don't know how to say it out loud to make you understand, so I have to show you.
And
I think Hinata, that is the way to get it through Hinata's head, because he's an idiot. Like, and you know, I think that's something the show, and we've talked about it on this podcast before, is it's showing us over and over again that like a lesson cannot simply be told to somebody. Like, they have to learn it themselves. It has to be through experience, especially with somebody like Hinata.
Yeah.
And so Hinata has to be shown that, you know, with Kageyama there, like, you can get through the blocks without being the big strong ace like Asahi. And I think for Kageyama, I do think he doesn't recognize how much Hinata wants to be big and tall. Like, he doesn't get, like, because he doesn't know what that's like. He doesn't know what it's like to be short. I feel like we had a similar experience where like you didn't understand what life was like for me as a shorty when we got together. But I think it goes to show that like Kageyama, I think in his mind, he's like, well, you don't have to be big and tall to be a good volleyball player. That's not what you need. What you need is to work hard. What you need is to practice. What you need is to like learn how to adapt.
Yeah.
Which is a lesson that Kageyama just recently learned, is how to adapt. And now he's adapting to Hinata. And I think maybe part of him is mad because he's like, hey, you got to meet me halfway here. Like, I'm doing these amazing like pinpoint spikes to you, but you're so focused on being the ace, you're not being the decoy that we need you to be.
Yeah.
And so I think there's just a lot of frustration in there for Kageyama. And ultimately, I think the way he decides to teach Hinata this lesson is important, because Kageyama tells the other team, I'm going to I'm going to send it to Hinata next. And Hinata's mad because he's like, well, now there's going to be blockers. And so he's standing there and there are blockers in front of him. And Kageyama shouts and says, go around them. Like, and he's like, use your speed. I think he even says, he's like, all you have is speed and like the ability to jump high. And he's like, and we have to use that. So use that to your best ability. And so he does. So he goes around and he spikes the ball. And then that's when we get it.
Oh my god, this like very romantic declaration
of yes, yeah, like as long as I'm here, you're invincible.
He's and like, he well, and I do enjoy, I kind of enjoy Kageyama's ruthlessness because it's not just to be cruel, and it's not there's always purpose behind it. And of course he always comes off kind of mean because he starts off being like, as you are now, you're no ace, you're never gonna be no ace, like you could just forget about it. And of course that sounds awful at first, but then he's like, you have your speed and your jumping, and combined with me, as long as I'm here, you're invincible.
Yes.
Which, wow, that's gay.
Which is super gay. And I will say the dub really fails us because Kageyama says, you're the greatest. He doesn't say invincible.
That doesn't even make sense, really.
It doesn't. Yeah, it just doesn't work as well. And it's just like, it is one of those things where I think the like they just don't really understand what they're actually saying. Yes. In Japanese. And so they're, you know, and maybe it's a mouth flap thing. Maybe, you know, invincible just didn't work. And that was the only way they could they could make it work. You know, you'll never hear me say that the dub is superior to the sub. I just happen to also love the dub. But yeah, there are the moments like that, it doesn't quite get there. And I have a note here that ultimately Kageyama is trying to teach Hinata how to play in the way he can at the skill level he's at now.
Yeah.
And I think you have a really interesting note about
This declaration.
Yeah
And we can even dive a little deep. Well, I don't know, spoiler zone to me means time skip, so I feel like I can talk about the season two fight a little bit.
I think we should talk about it in the spoiler zone. Okay. I just don't want to presume that, you know, because there could be people listening to this who
are watching like, along. That's fine. Yeah. So I will say, like, this line of thinking though will prove to be a little problematic because Kageyama, he does kind of like, he believes in Hinata's talents, but he's also, there's a limit to them, and he still has this belief that like Hinata like needs Kageyama to truly be successful, and that's only going to work for so long.
Yeah, and I think that's something to talk about, because like I see it sometimes in like fics and stuff, especially fics where like Kage and Hina are not shipped together, this idea that like Kageyama thinks that he is the only setter that can bring out Hinata's talents, which I don't think that's exactly what it is. And I think other people in the show comment and say like, oh, and I think even at the end of this episode, Hinata says like, oh, without Kageyama here, like I'm kind of useless. And yeah. Like, and I think that's just like a sad way to look at it. And I don't really necessarily think that's what Kageyama believes.
That's just kind of where they're at right now. Like, that's kind of true now, but yeah, that's not going to satisfy Hinata for long. He has to be able to fight without Kageyama as well.
Yeah, but I would make the argument that Kageyama wouldn't be where he is right now and wouldn't be like, wouldn't have the ability to be official setter if not for Hinata, because it was Hinata who like pushed Kageyama to like change the way he set and to like learn to adapt to others. So I think it's a very balanced thing. And I like looking at, you know, like I like reading fics where like they don't go to Karasuno together. Like I want to write a fic where Hinata goes to Seijo. And I think it is interesting, like how do you, you know, how do you modify it so that like they're still able to like grow without each other? Which can be hard because like they are so important to each other's growth.
Yeah, no, they're definitely soulmates. And I also love how, like, so he says this whole thing about, like, you're invincible and, you know, run around, and he does the thing, and he's just, like, yelling at Hinata, like, don't you get it? Like, you're the decoy. That's your strength. And by the end of it, he is, like, like out of breath.
Yeah, I love the heavy breathing. Well, and I have a note here that says Kageyama is making a very important point here. There are different kinds of strength, and that's something that is a huge theme of Haikyuu, especially I would say season three, is that like strength is not just about like the power to break through a block by pure like your muscles alone.
Yeah.
So I really like that. Yeah. And then I love Kageyama apologizing for interrupting the practice match. And he's like, sorry for being so gay.
Literally. Well, yeah, he's like, you know, we have the breath moment. And then he kind of, I don't know if he says it to Asahi. He's like, right? Am I right? Like, kind of thing. And they're like, yeah, man. Like, just calm down.
And then
yeah, they both apologize to be like, sorry for interrupting, because they do this a lot where they stop practice matches in their tracks so that they can have gay development.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, is this where Tanaka kind of like jumps in and is like, yeah, Hinata, listen, like, you know, you scoring points like that helps the rest of us. Like, we need you there scoring points. And I think Kageyama, I love what Kageyama says. He says, a point that's scored by the ace by like breaking through the block, or a point that's scored by the decoy by being really fast, there's still a point.
Yes, a point is a point.
A point is a point, exactly. And like, and it's still important, and I just love it so much.
I think especially like young people, you know, they can get so attached to a story that they have in their mind of who they are or who they want to be. And I think that's what Hinata is going through. And Kageyama is trying to get it through his head of like, that's not your story though. This is, and it's just as good and cool. But you know, that's going to be a journey for Hinata, and he'll fully embrace it. But well, like, we're going to take some time to get there.
Yeah, it takes, you know, I totally get that, you know. I like what you just said about like young people and like having an idea of who they are in their head and like clinging to that.
Yes.
And you know, I just love that, like, you know, I feel like never mind, I have something that I'm going to talk about in the spoiler zone.
Oh,
so.
Okay, we'll get back to that. Sorry about our neighbor's dog, by the way, if you can hear that.
Yeah. But yeah, then we get into Yukai seeing Kakehina as soulmates immediately.
Yes, oh my god, this is a great moment too, and one that I didn't fully there's a line I didn't fully understand until later, but he asks Takeda, like, you know, did they know each other before this, like in elementary school? He basically is like, are they a childhood friends to lovers trope? What's going on here? And Takeda's like, yeah, no, they just like really met this past year. And Yukai says, how cruel.
Yes.
Which is, oh my god, what a line. Because I was like, what's cruel about it? But what's cruel about it is that basically fate has kept them apart for so long.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. I literally, you're blowing my mind. I didn't think about it this way. I thought he was saying like, oh, Kageyama was being really cruel to Hinata for somebody he just met. But no, he's saying it's so cruel that they didn't know each other until now because they work so well together.
Yeah.
That's honestly, Yukai, kind of the number one Kagehina shipper.
He clocked them. He was like, you guys are freaks, quote unquote, that are destined to be together.
Yeah. Like, he's literally like, oh, did they know each other in middle school? Even elementary school? And so he's just shocked by it. And yeah, oh my god, I'm obsessed with that now.
Well, Kakehina's compatibility is really insane. Like, I know it's always kind of in the context of volleyball, but they just, like, the way that they do read each other and get each other and call each other out. And there will be times in the future where they're like, oh, well, if Kageyama is calling everyone out, who's going to call out Kageyama? And it's going to be Hinata. And so, yeah, I don't know. Gay, recognize gay.
Yeah. And so now we kind of get a little bit out of focusing on Kagehina. And we just kind of get back into the game. And I have a few notes here about some things that happen.
Well, this is when we're introduced to the...
go ahead.
This is when we're introduced to the jump float serve.
Yes, by Shimada.
A tricky little serve indeed, because you never really know where it's going to go. And again, this is something I didn't really pay attention to very closely until this time around, but how much Yamaguchi is interested in this technique.
Yes, absolutely. I also have a small note, because we really only see like a few of the neighborhood association people, and they barely talk, but one of them, the number five, I had to do like a double take because he looks like a grown-up Enoshida. Mm. I was like wait a minute, I was like, that looks like Enoshida like 10 years from now. So I just thought that was fun. But yeah, so the number five on the neighborhood association team. So then we meet the jump float serve, and this is where Yukai is talking. He gets more into talking about how their receiving needs work, and I think it's, you know, that's great foreshadowing because we're right before Nekama shows up.
Yes.
And we're talking about receiving and defense and how much it needs work, and ooh, I can't wait for the next couple episodes to talk about Nekama.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And then I have a note about Tanaka being such a good senpai.
Yeah.
Because I think at the end of the episode, he kind of like goes to cheer up Hinata, where he's like, hey, man, like, you just keep up what you're doing. Like, this, it's you're doing great.
Yeah.
And it's really cute. And yeah, so then the game ends. And I don't think we talked about it, but like, they stay like really late. Like, I don't know who that man comes to the gym and is like, hey, you guys should leave. I got to lock up. And Takeda has to be like, no, it's okay. I'll take responsibility. I'll lock up when we're done. Like, don't worry about it. And then like,
and
I think.
Like- That's a good moment too, because Hinata, I think that's kind of snaps Hinata out of it, and he's like, oh, like, I'm kind of the one that's causing all this, and I got mad at Kageyama even though he was right, and blah blah blah. So
yeah
no, they play late into the night, as they are wont to do.
And it's so cute because Takeda like closes the door, and then Daichi's like, oh, sorry Takeda, and Takeda's just like, no worries, and gives him a thumbs up. And then Tanaka's like, go Taka-chan, and
he's just so unwaveringly supportive of this team and really believes in them. It's very sweet.
I love it. Yeah. And so then the game ends, and then we have the neighborhood association gives kind of their little like they talk to the
oh my god, it's so cute, because they're like, gosh, I remember being youthful.
Yeah, it's so cute. They're just like, I love the adults making fun of the dramatic teens, and Noya and Kageyama, who were the ones who made like the biggest loudest declarations, are just kind of embarrassed, and they're like, and also the two gayest, like,
well, they quote them specifically, they quote Noya's little like declaration to Asahi, and then they quote Kageyama's thing, and it's basically like, oh, I remember being gay and a teenager.
Yeah. And something I guess we kind of touched on this in the last episode, but something I really didn't think about in until watching this episode is that Shimada and I think it's Takanoe, is that who you say the other guy's
name? The blonde guy.
They never say his name. We hear Shimada, I think because of Shimada Mart, we like see Shimada a lot more. Yeah. So Shimada and Takanoe, they really are like the senpai for the Kurasano team, and they really, and like, I feel so often we focus on like while they're still in high school, like the, you know, the third years and the second years and how they treat the first years, but like I think Shimada and Takanoe are also taking that senpai job pretty seriously, and they're encouraging them, and they're like, because they say, they're like, listen, you know, you guys are a little rough right now, but I think once you figure stuff out, you're gonna go really far.
Yeah.
And you know, spoiler alert, but we continue to see them supporting them, supporting the team.
A senpai's role never truly ends.
No, and they continue to take it seriously.
But yeah, this game really solidifies, like, okay, we have our Kurasano team. Our ace is back. That he kissed and made up with our libero. We're going. This is for real now.
Our decoy is starting to accept his role as decoy. Yeah, and I do have a note here that makes me sad, where, you know, I think I mentioned it earlier, but Hinata kind of shamefully admits to Asahi that without Kageyama's sets, he's useless.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is just sad. But then Asahi, who is also a good senpai, because Kurasano is just full of amazing senpai, he's like, hey, you know what? Like, I know, like, you want to be, like, big and strong like the ace, but, like, to get a setter to say to you what Kageyama said is pretty cool.
Yes, he's giving Hinata his flowers, and he also, like, and I agree with this, like, he's talking about how, like, the ace is, I think he kind of gives a technical definition of the ace, that it's like the left wing spiker or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's him and Tanaka, but he says, I think the coolest thing is when you're the guy who makes the other people nervous.
Well, and I love it, because it's kind of a bit of foreshadowing here, because he's like everyone's gonna be like, oh, look out for that short kid, which is what happens. Yeah. Like, you know, we haven't really gotten to what their numbers are, but, you know, like, Hinata becomes the number 10, and, like, you know, I don't think this is a huge spoiler that, like, once they start going to tournaments, people start noticing Kurasano as number 10. And they taught, like, teams are starting to, like, get prepared for him. Like, Hinata really, and I think that's such an interesting thing that Furudate does, where, like, Hinata seems to think the ace is the only position that can get that, and that's not true, because any player on the team, any position, can be really strong. And the team works best when everybody is strong.
Yeah, Hinata really has a lot to learn, because he has just been kind of going off this one player that changed his whole life. But yeah, there's a lot more to it, and thankfully he's got a really mean best friend to show him the way.
And lots of really good senpai. And yeah. I do have a note here about Daisuga being cute, because Daichi says something to Suga of, like, you know, welcome back, and
yes,
they're just so adorable, and they're little boyfriends.
Daichi was very sweet to Suga, and then immediately is like, and then I guess we got this big wimp back.
Oh my god. Yeah, can we talk about just getting into poly shipping here? I feel like Daisuga Asa doesn't get enough attention.
Very true.
But I think the three of them together would be really cute. If anyone knows of any fics, I would love to read them. Because I think that's like a fun dynamic to explore. Because, you know, Daichi is like, he acts all mean to Asahi, but, like, I think it does come from a place of, like, tough love.
Yes, for sure.
and like, teasing. And in the way, I think you can only be that way with people who, like, are in your class and are your age and who you've had experiences with. Because, like, you know, they've been together since first year.
Well, Asahi is slept on. We talked about this. And someone was tweeting about it the other day. And I was like, yeah, I know. Like, I don't understand why the fandom and, like, people don't really ship people with Asahi, which is crazy because he's just this giant, handsome, gentle giant. Like, I don't understand what the problem is. But that would be a fantastic ship.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know, like, why we don't talk about Asahi enough. We should. I want more Asahi.
Well, it's up to us, babe.
You know what? That's right. Okay, do we have anything else we want to talk about as far as
the episode? I think we're good.
Okay, we talked about all the gay.
Yes, obviously. Sub versus dub thoughts.
I only have one, and it's that on the DVD, because in case you all don't know, so I'm watching the dub because I'm an insane person who bought all four seasons of Haikyuu on DVD so I could watch them dubbed. We don't need to talk about how much money I spent. It was a lot, but it was worth it. I ordered them on the internet.
Well, I didn't realize that the English dub is not on Crunchyroll.
It's not. They have, obviously, they have the original. They have the Portuguese dub and the Spanish dub. Even that, I think, is only for seasons one and two. So I'm not really sure what's going on. Because then you look at something like other shows, like I think like JJK has like
everything.
Every language. Same with Bungo Stray Dogs. It's like, so it probably has something to do with the production companies. Yeah. Because I know it's different. So yeah, but on the DVD, this episode, instead of being called Yearning, it's called The Dream.
They made it more straight by saying
that. They made it more straight for one thing, which is, you know, I find usually the dub makes things more gay, and I just wonder if that's like a translation thing, you know? Like there could probably be something where like the kanji for like yearning or like could also be translated as the dream or something. Like I don't know. If anybody knows, you know, write us in, let us know. I don't really have anything for manga versus anime. I would say this, you know, it sticks pretty closely to it, and I already talked about some stuff in the last episode, so I think we're ready to move on to our character spotlight.
Who's our big star of the day?
It's a Yukai Keishin.
Yay!
I love Yukai so much. We actually, at first I was like, oh, maybe we won't do anybody for the character spotlight, and then I was like, no, we need to talk about Yukai. This is when he, like, you know, this isn't when he officially decides to become their permanent coach, but this is like the beginning of him coach. And like we really see in this episode, I think more than in the last one, we really see him thinking like a coach.
Yes.
And thinking about like, what do we need to improve? Like, what can we do to get them ready to face Nekoma?
He was certainly the perfect pick. And he's also like, he says to Takeda at one point, he's like, wow, this team's actually really good. Why didn't you say anything? And Takeda's like, I tried several times.
He's like, actually, I did. And there's evidence of that. and they're just like a fun little ship. I can't believe we haven't done Takeda yet for a character spotlight. I feel like I failed.
No. We'll find an episode for him.
Yeah, we'll find a good episode for him. But, you know, not that we haven't been giving him his flowers this whole time.
Yeah.
So Yukai, who we love, and I love the way he looks.
He's cool. I would have probably had a crush on him as like a high school girl going to his shop after school. I'd be like,
absolutely. I currently have a crush on him. Yukai's so hot. he's like in his like late 20s, mid to late 20s.
He's like 26, 27, something like that.
Yeah. And I want to just read a little quote here about his personality. He is quite competitive, agreeing to coach Karasuno only so that he could beat Nekoma in the practice match. Yukai appears lazy and cranky, spending most of his time at work reading a newspaper with his legs on the counter or yelling at people for being too loud. However, he's shown to have strong coaching skills and is a hardworking individual. I think he also reads a lot of manga. I feel like there's a lot of like, Furudate adds a lot of like Shonen Jump stuff.
Yes.
Which I love, which makes sense because I think Haikyuu came out in Shonen Jump Weekly.
Haikyuu is heavily influenced by a lot of like Shonen manga, so it makes sense.
Yeah, I think it works. I love that read of Yukai. He does seem like lazy. He seems like he's just kind of a bum.
Yukai just, I feel like he's in a rut. Like, I feel like he maybe didn't have a solid plan for after school, and he's just kind of like hanging out, and all of the neighborhood women are trying to set him up with girls, and he's just not interested for some reason.
I wonder why. I did want to talk a little bit about his name meaning. From what I could see, Yukai is completely made up. It's not a real name, because the literal translation means training crows.
Shut up.
That's what I found online. If that's wrong and somebody wants to correct me, go ahead. But I found two sources that said that.
Not the crow trainer.
And then his first name, Keishin, which I think I'm saying correctly, but I could be wrong. But it breaks down to Kai, to fasten or tie, and Shin, which is heart, mind, soul. So he's kind of like, he is like tying like the team together. He's like tying like the soul of the team together.
Makes sense.
So I really like that. And of course, he has a character sheet. He's 26, according to his character sheet. He's 5'10". His birthday is April 5th, which means he's a...
He's an Aries.
Does that make sense for him? I feel like
yes. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His favorite food is yam balls, which are tama konnyaku.
Oh.
Yam balls. Those are probably fucking delicious.
I'm sure.
His current worry is he's not even 30 and already everyone is on his case about getting married.
Yep.
I wonder why you're so worried about that. And then his abilities on the 5-point scale, his speed is a 2, his jumping and stamina are 3s, his intelligence, technique, and power are all 4s.
Okay.
And, you know, we don't really get to see him play a lot. I will say that. I kind of wish we could have, because we get to see the other neighborhood guys play, but we don't get to see Yukai. But I think that's the point, is that he is not a player anymore. He is now a coach. But I, you know, I think it's important for his power, his technique, and his intelligence to all be 4s. I think that makes a lot of sense for him. Anything else to say about Yukai? I love his hair, personally.
Yeah, I like his hair. I don't know. He's cool.
He's cool. He's fun. I'm excited for him to be part of the team now.
I do have a straight ship for him, but she's not coming in for a little while, so we'll wait.
You know what? Yeah, I do too. And we will cross that bridge when we come to it, because that is a fun one. Okay. I think we're ready to move on.
Okay, everyone, strap in for Who in Haikyuu. Today's scenario is brought to us by MB on Twitter. And it is, what is their go-to Mario Kart character? Yep. Side note, Rainbow is very good at Mario Kart, and she's a monster about it. I've never seen such a braggadocious person before in my life.
Listen, here's the thing. I am not very good at video games, and I'm okay. I don't need to be good at them. Like, I really, like, the games I play are generally more, like, farming sims and, like, easy games. Like, I don't like battle games. I'm not good at, like, first-person shooters. I'm not good at, like, open world, like, RPG, whatever. Like, I'm not good at that kind of stuff, and that's okay with me. Mario Kart is the only game I can claim that I am good at, and I know for a fact I'm good at it, and I know I can win. I also started playing Mario Kart when I was a teenager with my brother and his friends who were older than me, and they were all really good, and I was really bad. And that bothered me. So I trained. I cut my teeth on Mario Kart Wii. But now I have a Switch, so we play Mario Kart 8, and I am really good, and I'm proud of it.
She's fucking unbeatable. I am not. Like, I was not a video game kid growing up. Kageyama Kinney, hello. And, like, so I do not have the fucking training that she does, and it's impossible. Like, even as I got better, you can't make any mistakes with her, because she is never making mistakes and is doing, like, the most at all times. So even if you don't, no, put your hand down, because I have things to say.
Say it.
Anyway, no, no, that's really the end of my rant.
No, I do make mistakes. I will say, like, there are other people who are, like, I'm not, like, completely unbeatable. Like, when we were home and, like, when my brother would play, like, you know, I had some competition and wasn't getting first place every time. And our like, old roommate was pretty on par with me. But, yeah, I love Mario Kart. I've, like, toyed with the idea of, like, doing, like, a gamer YouTube channel where I just play Mario Kart. It would be called Rainbow Road 666.
Well, obviously.
Obviously. But I probably wouldn't do that, because I don't even know how to begin to do that. So, anyway, going back to our Who in Haikyuu scenario.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So, Hinata.
But I do want to say we are using characters from Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which there are a lot of them. But so we're going to go through and decide those characters.
What do you think?
Hinata, I kind of want to do Hinata, Kagehina, as Mario and Luigi, just because Mario's shorter.
Yeah, very true. They could do that. I could also see Hinata picking, like, Donkey Kong.
I could see him picking like one of the big scary ones, or like Bowser or somebody.
Yeah.
Kageyama, notoriously not a gamer, but who do you think he would pick?
He'd probably try and pick, like, whoever has the best stats or something boring like that.
Well, yeah, but that's the thing is, like, the characters, you don't, like, see their stat sheets. That would come in when he's picking, like, his vehicle. I think he would just pick, like, you know, because whenever you, like, start the game and it goes to characters, I think he'd just go to whatever the default character is. I don't think he would care. Maybe he'd be like, who's the best at volleyball? And people would be like, none of them. And he'd be like, okay.
He'd pick like the generic male me or whatever.
Yeah, I was going to say maybe he'd make his own me and that would be him.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I see for him. All right. And then we have Asahi.
Asahi would pick Baby Peach.
Absolutely. Yeah. You're right. Noya.
Oh, Noya would be like...
He'd be like Bowser Jr. or one of the like Koopa kids.
One of the little creatures. Any creature for sure.
Yeah. Any like crazy little creature. Definitely. Or I could also see him picking one of the big guys as well.
Yeah.
Just because he's small to compensate.
Uh-huh.
Tanaka.
Tanaka would probably pick like a Bowser or a Donkey Kong, but he inside is Daisy.
Yes. Yeah. No, you're right.
There's a difference between like what I think they would pick and what I would give them.
And that's okay. And we can talk about both of those. Okay. And then we have Daichi, who he honestly is giving Mario.
Yeah. Yeah. Mario sure. Or something like that.
Suga is going for like Rosalina.
Okay. Or I was going to say Waluigi.
Oh, no, you're right. You're right. Yep. Just like our other old roommate.
Waluigi.
Waluigi.
So unsettling.
Yeah. And then Kyoko. I think she's going for like a pink gold peach or a peachette.
Yeah.
I
want to give her Rosalina because Rosalina's the baddest bitch.
That's true. Yeah, I could see her doing
Rosalina. That's always my pick. I always pick Rosalina. And Rainbow always picks, which peach is it?
So I was going with pink gold peach. And I still love her. But recently with the newest update, they added Peachette. And I really like her.
Yeah.
So I like to go for a peach or a Daisy.
Yeah, I always love. I mean, I gotta be a princess.
Yeah, I want to be a pretty princess. I used to, when I played Mario Kart Wii, I was always either Toad or Baby Daisy. But the sizes of the characters are different for Mario Kart 8 than they were in Mario Kart Wii. And it does, like, affect how you drive. So now I go for, like, a middle character. But on Mario Kart Wii, I always went for a smaller character because they're faster because they don't weigh as much.
And they're cute.
And they're just cute. Yeah, and Baby Daisy makes the cutest sound. Baby Daisy! I actually named my cat Daisy because of Baby Daisy.
Oh, I
yeah.
love that.
Well, because my brother named his dog Bowser. And I was like, well, I will also pick someone from the Mario universe. Okay, so that was Kyoko. So Yamaguchi, Yoshi.
Yeah. Yep.
No, actually, that's wrong. Tsukishima is picking Yoshi.
And then he could be Toadie
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, he's Toad. Yeah, so I'm sure Yamaguchi, the first time they play Mario Kart together, Yamaguchi tries to pick Yoshi, and Tsukishima's like, absolutely not.
And let me tell you, Yamaguchi is always player two.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Yukai is, he's giving like dry bones.
Oh, okay. I was going to say Wario.
Okay. Yeah. I could see that. I could see that too.
But yeah, that's good.
Takeda is also picking a princess.
Yeah. He's a princess.
Or Toadette. I could see him picking Toadette too.
Yeah. Or this like ginger girl. Who's this ginger?
Oh, glasses. That she's a squid kid. She's an inkling from Splatoon.
Okay. Yeah.
Which, yeah, I didn't know that for a long
time. Or, the Animal Crossing.
Isabelle.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No, he's, yeah, I could definitely see him picking Isabelle. And then Shimada.
I don't know these men well
I don't
enough.
Know them as well either. Just basically, I could see him picking, like, Villager.
Yeah.
Or Link.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, same with Takanoe. I could see him picking, like, Link.
Oh, yeah, Link too. He's a popular one.
Yeah. Yeah. And let us know who you like to pick in Mario Kart. We want to know who you're always playing as because I love Mario and I love playing Mario Kart. And now I have the itch and I want to play some more. And I am. And I, you know, it's a bit when I'm a dick about it, but it's I need to actually maybe stop because I think I'm worried it will become my personal.
She said something this morning. I can't remember what the context was, but it was like, well, if you want me to beat you, we can just play Mario Kart.
yeah and you know but I don't you know and I do make mistakes. I'm not perfect, unlike what Im was saying earlier.
Once in a blue moon I will beat her. In a blue moon.
Well, you know, gotta keep your hopes up.
Yeah, you hear that? That's what I'm talking about. Okay. Moving on to our socials. Before we get into the spoiler zone and before we maybe lose some of you people, make sure you know how to find us. We are on Twitter, Instagram, Tumblr, and Blue Sky as Fly Haiku Pod. That is FlyHQPOD. You can also email us. We love to get an email at flyhiqpod@gmail.com. FlyHQPOD@gmail.com. Write us in. Send us a carrier pigeon. Our address is... just kidding. But yeah, we hope to see you there. And let's take a dip in the zone of spoils.
The zone of spoils.
You want to take us off?
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about Hinata as the greatest decoy and Kageyama as the king of the court. And the way I have it here, and I hope this makes sense, they both see each other for who they truly are before the other is ready to see it themselves.
Yes.
Like, Kageyama recognizes that Hinata is going to be an amazing decoy and that he, like, that is how he is going to shine. Whereas Hinata, from the very beginning, recognizes that Kageyama is the king of the court, and it's actually cool and it's a good thing. And, like, he has to learn how to own it.
Yes.
And I just think that's very interesting and just so soulmate of them.
Yeah, they really literally drag the best out of each other sometimes.
Yeah, literally drag it
out. Kicking and screaming.
Yeah. And then do you want to talk a little bit about their fight in season two?
I guess just to get deeper into the point I was making earlier about Kageyama's attitude of, like, with me you're invincible. Like, that's going to limit them in season two because, and Hinata's right. Like, he can't keep going on like this. He can't always just depend on Kageyama. Like, they can still, and I think what Kageyama fears is that's the only way that they can work is if Hinata just blindly closes his eyes and just lets Kageyama basically do all the work and be the stone top. And Hinata doesn't want to be a pillow princess anymore and wants to also work for it. So yeah, I just think, like, again, even though it is a very romantic declaration, there's kind of problems with it and they will come up because Hinata is always growing and always changing and you can't stop him.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I wonder if, like, you know, because Kageyama, you know, he finally has found a partner to match up with him and that is Hinata. And I wonder if there is kind of an aspect of control to it there where, like, Kageyama likes that Hinata has to rely on him, which isn't healthy. And so he doesn't want things to change because if they change, he might lose what he has. And for Kageyama, like, as we learn later, like, loss is a big deal for him. And, like, he has felt lost before. And I'm sure there is, like, you know, some sort of, like, trauma there of, like, I can't lose Hinata, you know, like I lost my grandfather, which, of course, it's not the same. Hinata's not dying. He's just...
But Hinata's really the first person who's been able to match him and been able to take him to heights in volleyball that he hasn't been able to reach before. So I definitely get his fear. And, yeah, I think there's just old bad habits of not being able to really trust Hinata to improve enough to be able to get to the next level. Yes. But, oh my god, the fight episode is going to be very long because we're going to have a lot to say.
There's going to be so much
to say. And that, I think it gets very misunderstood. Like, Kageyama in general gets very misunderstood.
Yeah, I think there's something there. Kind of what I was saying, I feel like there are some people, like, when Atsumu gets introduced, that they seem to think, like, you know, I've seen this before. And, like, I'm not trying to hate on anyone who ships, like, Atsuhina. I'm an Atsuhina shipper. I just hate when, like, people say, like, oh, Atsumu would have been better for Hinata because, like, he wouldn't have, like, been so controlling like Kageyama, and, like, you know, he would have, like, let Hinata, like, grow on his own, which I don't know if that's true. Like, Atsumu, I feel like, looks at spikers as, like, he can use them to his advantage. But, like, I think people just overlook Kagehina's, like, deep connection and, like, how meaningful that is and how, like, you know, that whole, like, you're, you know, saying with me here, you're invincible, is what Hinata needed to hear in that moment. That's what helped snap him out of it. And, like, Kageyama, like, understands that and he knows what to say to Hinata to, like, get him out of it. But yeah, like, I think Kageyama, for all of his talk of, like, you know, like, you have to improve, you have to, like, get better and stuff, like, he himself doesn't always realize that he has to change.
Yes.
And that change is necessary. Yeah. I think change is scary for him, and so he fights against it. And yeah, and I think what you said about him not trusting Hinata is just, it's true. Like, he has such a hard time trusting Hinata.
Yeah.
Because they're opposites, because Hinata immediately can trust Kageyama.
Yep.
But Kageyama doesn't have that immediate trust for Hinata, and it's a slow-going process. But they get there.
Yeah.
Oh, and this episode's setting up so much.
Yeah.
But next episode is Nekomo.
Yes. Oh my God. Y'all get ready. I know you're excited.
I'm so sad that we can't record next weekend. I'm going to be sad not being able to talk about Nekomo. Although I probably won't be saying that when I'm like in pain. but yeah, we're really excited for that. And we can't wait to talk about it with you all. And yeah, like, let us know what you think of this episode, of past episodes, of future episodes. We love the engagement.
Yeah, so I think that's it for this episode.
I think so too. It's always so sad when we get to the end of an episode. I don't want it to be over.
Oh, we miss you guys already. But until next time, fly high.
Woo!